Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu ben Yosef and Chana Bas Shmuel Halevi.
Soto daf lamed vav. Our Gemara darshins the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, Ad yavar amcha Hashem zubia rishona, Ad yavar am zukonisa zubia shnia. And the Gemara concludes, Amar mi'at ru'uyin ho Yisrael lasus lamnei zubia shnia, Kibir Rishona. The Be'etzem B'nai Yisrael was right for them to receive Nisim at the time that they came back, at the time of Elias Ezra, to build a second Beis HaMikdash, the same way they had Nisim when they came over the Yarden with Yehoshua. Elisha Garam HaChet. Because of Gramas HaChet, the Chet that happened at the time of the Aliyah of Ezra caused they did not have Nisim as at the time of Yehoshua. Now this notion of Gramas HaChet is also mentioned in the Gemara elsewhere, with regard to Yaakov Avinu, it says that Yaakov was afraid that he would not be able to make it back successfully from Lavan, and Esav might do harm from him. And the Gemara asks that Hashem already promised Yaakov that he would be shomer him and bring him back to the base Abba. Elamai, the Gemara concludes the same idea, Shema Garam Hachet, that Yaakov was fearful of Gramas Hachet, that therefore he would not be Zoche to the fulfillment of the promise of Hashem and be able to make it back, Bishalom, to Eretz Yisrael. The Menei Achronim are extremely bothered this notion that Gemara here says of Shema Yigram Achet with a different Gemara. The Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin, the Gemara there says Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyotzim Bikar Shbaruch Hu L'Tova Afilo Al Tanai Lo Chazer Bo, that any Dibur that Hashem gives as a promise, as a pledge for a Tova, even if there was some condition made in the promise, Lo Chazer Bo, Hashem is not Chazer in His promise, and He gives the Tova no matter what. And it's clear from Chazal this is true even if there is a chet, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Naf Nun Hey, Mi'olam lo yotza mi detovam keresh baruchu v'chazra l'ra'a. And Rashi there explains that this means that even if there is a chet, even if there was some reason for there to be an onesh that we should not receive the midah tova that Hashem promised, still Hashem keeps His word. When Hashem promises a midah tova, then it is never chozer, there's never a situation where we do not receive that tova, even if there is a chet. So if that's the case, how can there be a situation of gromas achet, this instance of shema yigram achet, the biyashnia, how can we explain it? The Rambam as well passes this halacha in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Gittel Achadal, with regard to a Navi. He says the test that we can give to a Navi to find out if he's a Navi sheker or not will always be nivchan, will always be able to tell about a davar letov. Because if a Navi tells of a Navua of a davar tov, even if he says there are conditions which are being given, that under these conditions the davar tov will come, and if these conditions are not met, the davar tov will not come, well, since the way Hashem's midos work is that no matter what, even if it's al tanai, as Chazal told us, the Hashem keeps His promise and comes through and delivers His word, so we can tell that which a Navi says, that if he promises a tov and it doesn't come, we know he's a Navi sheker. The Rambam says, im hevtiach al tova, v'amr shiya kach v'kach, v'lo ba tova, biyadua shu Navi sheker, shekol davar tova shigzer akel afilo al tanai inu chozer. That's how the Rambam parsons these divrei chazal in the Gemara in Brachos and the Gemara in Shabbos, that a Navi who promises a tova and does not come, that's how we can tell that he's in fact a Navi sheker. If a Navi promises that some ra will happen, and perhaps Bnei Yisrael did tshuva, and that's why the Ra didn't come. That's not necessarily a test that he's not a Navi Emes. But a Navi promises a Tova and it doesn't come, since Chet cannot affect the deliverance of that Tova, therefore if the Tova does not in fact come, we know the Navi is a Navi Sheker. And the Emes, these are Mefreshe Psukim and Sefer Yirmiyahu and Perichav Ches. Yirmiyahu tells the Navi Sheker Hananya ben Azur that every Navua, which is the Tova, it must come, and we cannot taina that there is a Grey Masachet, that as an excuse for why the Tova that a Navi promises did not come. So then the question stands, how can we understand our Gemara that said, Shem Yigram Achet, if it's a Nevuah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Nisim would happen in the Bia Shnia the same way they happened for the Bia Rishona? So there are several answers offered in the Achrona, and we'll try to list a few of them. One Mahalach is suggested by the Tzlach in his Pirish, the Masechas Brachos Daf Dalet, where our Gemara is quoted as well. He says there a Chiddush that this notion that kol mida tova shiyotzim b'kadosh baruch hu is einor chozer l'ra is only with regard to keeping a Navi as a Navi emes. And that's what the Rambam said, that this is the test which is given to a Navi. And therefore he says, because the Nevuah here in our Gemara discussing was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a pasuk in Parashat B'Shalach, which Moshe said at the time of Shiras Hayam. And anyway, with Muchzaglon, that Moshe was a Novi Emes, like it says in Parashas Yisro, V'gam b'cho yaminu la'olam, Hashem promised Moshe that our confidence in the Nevuah of Moshe would never be shaken. We would always be machzikim as a Novi Emes. So therefore, the rule that the Gemara says, that Chazal tell us, that kol mi d'tova shiyotza b'karish baruch hu eino choz l'ra, does not apply with regard to Moshe. The Nevuah of Moshe, because it's unshakable, because it has that chozek, that we're confident in it no matter what, and we cannot be mahar archa Nevuah also. So therefore, this klal does not apply, and there is a possibility of shevim yigra machet. Now, evidently, this is a chiddush to suggest that this entire idea, the notion that Havtocha Hashem gives will never be chozel l'ra, is only a practicality in order to make sure that we can test Nevi'im. And therefore, if we have a Novi who's Mugzaklon, this cloud does not apply. And Tzlach himself, is Soser himself, but Pashas elsewhere in Sechas Brochas, Naflam and Beis, there he writes, even with regard to the Nevuah of Moshe, so long as the Nevuah was Latova, it cannot be misbatal, there's no possibility Hashem Yigra Machet. And this L'chorah, Pashas, is Sira of Devri HaTzlach. That's L'chorah, the one Mechrishik HaMahalach, but it is a bit Tzarech Ian, the idea of the Tzlach, that Nevuah's Moshe is different because he was a Navi Muchzaklon, he was had a Havtocha, V'gam L'chorah Yemin L'Olam, therefore there was the possibility of Shebi Yigra Machet. But we'd like to focus on two other Mahalchim, which are mentioned by the Mizrahi and by the Gur Aryeh in Parashas Vayishlach, where the aforementioned Pesukim with regard to Yaakov being fearful of not being able to overcome Esav is mentioned. There, the Mizrahi suggests the following mahalach. He says that there's a chilek of Rumedayik, the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara's Lashon that we quoted was that it's Eino Chozer. And he understands that to mean, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be Miskayim. It means it will be Chozer to be the opposite, to be returned, to be not Latova, but be Lara. And therefore he says there's going to be a chilek between not a Nevuah not being Miskayim and a Nevuah being Chozer L'ra. That which the Gemara told us, that kol mida tova, shiyotzim kadosh baruch hu, will never be Chozer L'ra. That means that something which Hashem promises for good will never turn into bad. If Hashem tells us it will be good, it can never turn the tables and become something negative and accusatory. However, there is a possibility of Yigra Machet that we will lose the Kiyum HaNevuah, that we won't have the same level of Kiyum HaNevuah that was originally promised if there's Grama Sachet. And therefore, in our context, says the Mizrahi, in a Chanami, they had a Biyashniyah. It wasn't Chozel Ra because of the Chet. They didn't have a Biyashniyah Bechlal, that they should have to stay in Golas. The same way they had a Biyashniyah, those had a Biyashniyah. But because of the Chet, they didn't have the Kiyum of the Nisim, that it should be the same way, the same Ofen of Nisim that it was as in Biyashniyah. And therefore, this is not so sure that klal, that kol mida tova, shiyotzim b'karash baruch hu, eino chozer l'ra. Because here it wasn't chozer l'ra, it was simply not miskayim in the full sense. There was a biyashniyah without nisim. And therefore, there is no problem of the possibility of the specter our Gemara raises of Hashem yigra machet, because the ikiyum of the nevuah, that could be true, that the nevuah will not be miskayim to its fullest. But for the nevuah to be chozer l'ra, in other words, to come to be something negative and something bad, that we don't have, that will never have a mita tova which comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, which will be chozer to be the opposite, to be something which is negative, there even the chet cannot do. That's the mahalach of the Mizrahi. However, the Gur Aryeh is not pleased with this mahalach. He does not like this deek, the difference between a full kiyum and a negative kiyum. And therefore, he suggests a different mahalach. He says that the whole cloud the Gemara gave, that kol mida tova shiyotzim b'karash baruch hu, is eino chozer l'ra, that's only with regard to a nevuah brura. In other words, something which was clearly given to be a prophecy, that was said to be set over to Bnei Yisrael as a message. They should know, this is how Karash Baruch Hu is going to be misnaig with them. This is a plan he has in store for them. However, here, that's not our Gemara is doing. Our Gemara is making a drasha. The pasuk says, Ad Yavram Chashem, Ad Yavram Zukonisa. And the Gemara is a drasha that it was Ra'i Hayu Bnei Israel to receive Nisim at the time of Biyashniyah, at the time of Ezra, similar to the time of Yoshua. But it was not a promise that was given. It was Ra'i. It was only to happen. It was Chazi to happen. It was supposed to happen. But it was not said as a Nevuah. It was not said as a promise, as a prophecy given to Bnei Israel. This is what is going to happen. And therefore, the Gur Aryeh says, Maral tells us, that in that such a situation where Hashem is telling us what could be, what is supposed to be, there's a possibility of Grama Sechet. Yes, it's true. Ru'uyin ha'yu Bnei Israel las l'am nes. And that was merumas to in the pasuk of Ad Yavaram Chashem, Ad Yavaram Zukanisa, which was said by a Novi. But because it was only Roy Lioskach, but it wasn't said as a promise, as a pledge, as a prophecy, if this will happen, then the possibility of Roy Achet could kick in and say, yeah, they were Roy to get Nisim, but because of the Chet, they didn't get it. That's the Mahalach of the Maral. Maral adds on that the Zedek in the Posik, this is true. It says, Ad Yavaram Chashem, Ad Yavaram Zukanisa. In other words, that we're saying Bishnia is Dumya to be Rishona if we are Amcha Hashem, meaning if there is no Chet, if we maintain our status, we retain our loyalty as Amcha Hashem, then we receive Nisim in the Bishnia the same way we received it in the Bia Rishona. But because there was Grama Sachet, as our Gemara says, Grama Chet, we lost the plateau of Amcha Hashem, and the whole Havtocha was only given B'tanai that we stayed Amcha Hashem. Says the Maral, that's the answer. How Yigra Mache can take away the Nevuah, because the whole Nevuah was said only if we are Amcha Hashem. And it wasn't a Tanai, like the Gemara says, Afila Tanai in a Chozer, but the whole Nevuah was said if we are Amcha Hashem. And therefore, because the Havtocha was only promised to Amcha Hashem, when we had Grama Sachet, we lost that possibility of Nisim. So to summarize, Menachronim are bothered from our Gemara that says that they were only, they did not receive the Nisim of Biashniah as they hadn't been shown because Grama Sachet, from the Divrei Chazal elsewhere that says that Midah Tova that Hashem promises is never Chozer L'ra, and as well the Rambam Paskins as Halacha with regard to a Navi, that that's the way we can tell that a Navi is a Navi MS. We saw several Mahalchim and Achronim, one from the Tzlach, a Chiddush that Nevuas Moshe is different because Moshe was promised that he was always going to be considered a Navi MS, and therefore there was a possibility of a Grama Sachet with regard to his Nevuah. There was no Klal that it would not be Chozer L'ra. We saw that Tzlach himself was Pasha, Soser himself elsewhere. We saw two other Mahalchim, one from the Mizrahi, was Mahalch between being Chozer L'ra and being not being Miskayim. No Nevuah, no Midah Tova was ever Chozer L'ra to be something which was a Midah Ra, but there might have been an incompleteness in its Kiyam. That's what happened here, that they had a Bia Shnia without the Nisim that were Pasha's promised, similar to those in Bia Rishona. And as always, we saw the Mahalch of the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh, who said that there's a difference in a Nevuah and something which is simply said as something which is right to be, a Nevuah, which is a pledge, a prophecy given that this is how it's going to be, that will never be Chozer L'ra. But something which the Pasuk Derech Agav is Merames to, and there's a drush which says this is how Hashem wants it to be, it's right to be that way, then there is a possibility of Grama Sachet, that the eventuality might not pan out, and it's Meduk in the Pasuk that way, the Maral says, like it says, Amcha Hashem, they would need to be Zoche to the level of Amcha Hashem to get the Nisim of Bia Shnia as they were in Bia Rishona. Our Gemara at the bottom of Amud Aleph towards Amud Beis discusses how the names of the Shvatim were engraved upon the Avni Shoam, which rested on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. Now it's kedai to dedicate a few moments to explaining the Shittas HaRambam, which literally dozens of Achronim tried to break their heads to figure out how the Rambam learned our Gemara. The Rambam seems to have a Shitta in how the Shvatim were written on the Avni Shoam, which goes against every single part of our Gemara, and we'll explain and try to detail the kashas in the Rambam and offer a few mahalchim to be mitarets, the very, very difficult shita of the Rambam in our sugya. The our Gemara quotes machalikas between Tanakama and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, how to dash in the word kitol dosim. The Torah in Parashas Tetzaveh says that the Shvatim were written kitol dosim on the Avni Shoam. Tanakama understands that only on the Evan Shneer were they written kitol dosim, and not on the Rishona, because in the Rishona, Yehuda was written Mukdam. And the passage of the Gemara is that all the other Shvatim, the other 11 Shvatim, were written in order except for Yehuda, and therefore the order would be kafi that the way they were born, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayetze, on the first Evan, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, and Naphtali. That was the order in which we were born, and that order would be correct except for the Yehuda was first, and therefore the order would be Lamaisa, Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, Naphtali. And that's what Rashi says, the bottom daf lama vavam and aleph, divrei maaseh kitol dosam. And then in the Evan Shnia, that was kitol dosam mamish, there was the remaining six Shvatim who were born last, and that would be Gad Asher, Yisachar, and Zvulun, Yosef, and Yamin. That was the order in which the Shvatim were born. And the Gemara works out how it was that there were 25 osios on each Evan. The Gemara later on in Amud Beis is Masik, that Binyamin was written Shalim with a Yud, and that was the 25th letter, so that there should be 25 letters on each of the Avonim. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, they were not he did not darsh in the word kitol dosam the way Tanakama did to explain it to referring to the Pesukim in Parshas Vayetze. Rather, it referred to the way that the names were given by Yaakov Avinu, and not the way Moshe Rabbeinu called them Shimoni, Reuveni, etc. And the order was the order that is written at the beginning of Parshas Shmos, as the Gemara says at the top of Amud Beis, Kedera Shechalukin B'chum Hasheni, the beginning, the first Pesukim, the opening Pesukim, Parashat Shmos, there the Pesukim there says, Reuven Shimon, Levi Yehudi Yisachar Zvulun, that all the Bnei Leia, that's the first Evan. And then the second Evan is Don Naphtali, God Asher Yosef Binyamin. The Gemara just says that Bnei Rachel, Echen Mikan, Echen Mikan, as Rashi explains, that means Binyamin is first, then the four Bnei Shvachos, Don Naphtali, God and Asher, and then Yosef was last. That's the Pashas and Machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Then the Rambam, the Pashas, says like neither of these Tanoim. The Rambam says that the way in which the Avonim worked was that it was read from side to side. In other words, we put the Avonim from side to side, and then you went in order how they were born. And therefore, the Rambam had on the first Evan, Reuven, Levi, Yisachar, Naphtali, Gad, and Yosef, basically alternating from the order of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. And then the second Evan, he had Shimon, Yehuda, Zvulun, Dan, Asher, and Binyamin. And if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Tes HaLachotes, you see there a picture of how if you put these two Avonim together, then they read similar to the order of way it was written in Chumash Shmos. It says from side to side, from one Evan, Reuven, and then the next Evan, Shimon. Back to the first Evan, Levi, and the second Evan, Yehuda, etc., down to the bottom, with the only exception being the Rambam switches the order of Naphtali and Dan. He puts Naphtali before Dan, even though there in the Pesukim, Dan is mentioned for Naphtali. And the reason he does this is that he wants to have 25 letters on each Evan. Therefore, in order to have on the first Evan more, he puts Naphtali, which is 5 letters, over there, and moves Dan over to the second Evan, which is only 2 letters. Now, the Tmios and the Rambam are several. And the most basic problem is, how did the Rambam paskin? Because L'chor, the Rambam Shita, does not reflect either that of the Tanakama or that of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. And in fact, the Meiri in our sugya writes that the Rambam did not pass on like either Tana. He passed on like his own Seder. And the Meiri agrees with the Rambam. This is, in fact, the Halacha. There are those who claim perhaps the Rambam is based on the Yerushalmi. But it's very difficult. The Meiri himself is Moda that this is not the Seder of the Gemara. So how did the Rambam, in fact, understand our sugya? To say that the Rambam passing the Tanakama is difficult, because the Tanakama, as we mentioned, has Yehuda Mukdam, and the Rambam does not. The Rambam has Yehuda in the right place, in place number 4, after Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. L'chor, that does not reflect the Tanakama, said Yehuda was first. On the other hand, to say that the Tanakama passing like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel also does not seem to be mistader, because Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said that B'nei Shvachos were Be'emsa, and B'nei Rochel were Echon Mikan ve'Echon Mikan, and the Pashas being that B'nai Shvachos were in between Yosef and Binyamin. The Rambam does not have that that way. The Rambam has the B'nai Rachel at the end and the B'nai Shvachos prior to them along the two Avonim, as we explained. So the Chori is not like either Tana. Another Tema, which is brought up against the Rambam, is that the Gemara at the end, when it discusses how we get the 25 letters in each Evan to make them equal, it says that the 25th letter is not the Hay of Yosef, but rather, it's the Yud of Binyamin. And the Gemara says that it's not the Hay of Yosef because that's not the way that Yaakov called him. Yaakov called him without a Hay and has to be Kitoldosam. And the Rambam has the opposite. The Rambam has, if you look, the Yosef spelled with a Hay, Yehosef, and he has Binyamin spelled Chaser without a Yud. How can the Rambam understand, not like the Maskan of our Gemara, that Binyamin is Male with the Yud, and Yosef is written Chaser without a Hay? The Rambam says exactly the opposite. And one more kash from the Rambam is, where did the Rambam get this idea from, that the names go from side to side, and they're really read together, as we explained, that it was not a separate list on each Evan. So there are really two ways of thinking in the Achronim. We'll very quickly summarize the two Mahalchim. One is the Mahalch of the Kesev Mishnah, that the Rambam really passing like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, and as we noted, the pashas of the Rambam's order from side to side does reflect the order of Sefer Shmos, like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. But the Rambam understood when the Gemara said, B'nei Rochel is Echon Mikan of Echon Mikan, the Gemara there is Mimachanash to us, that the way in which the names were listed is from side to side. Echon Mikan of Echon Mikan was telling us that it goes reading from side to side, putting the Avonim adjacent to each other, and then going to feed that the Seder of Sefer Shmos. And that which the Gemara said, B'nei Shvachos Be'em said, didn't mean between the two B'nei Rachel, because as we just explained, the B'nei Rachel was one on one Evan, one on another Evan. Rather, what it meant is that B'nei Shvachos were Be'em said between the B'nei Leah and the B'nei Rachel. And that's what the Rambam has. First, he has the first 6 names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun. That's B'nei Leah. Then he has the 4 B'nei Shvachos, Dan, Naphtali, or as we explained, Naphtali and then Dan, in order to make the letters work out, Gad and Asher. And then at the bottom, he has Yosef and Binyamin. That's what it means, B'nei Shvachos Be'emsa. And that which the Rambam held, that the 25th letter was Yehosef, the Hay of Yehosef, and not the letter of Binyamin. And in fact, Rambam was Murchach this way, because he has Yosef and Binyamin on different Avonim, and therefore he needs the 25th letter to be where Yosef is, and not where Binyamin is. That's because Rambam understood, says the Kesef Mishnah, that the Gemara's Kasha at the bottom, on the Manomer who said that Yehosef was the 25th letter, was only Lefi the Tanakama, But Lefi Rachanim and Gamliel, who darshaned that we needed Kefi the way that the Yaakov Avinu called them, all the Gemara were saying is that we don't use the terms that Moshe gave them to call them Ruveni, Shimoni, etc. But there's no problem calling him Yehosef, even though that wasn't the way Yaakov Avinu called him, so long as we don't have the name of Ruveni or Shimoni being used. And that's where I don't feel comfortable poskening like Man Amar who said Yehosef, and not like Man Amar who said that Binyamin had the extra yud to make the 25th letter. So that's the Mahalach of the Kesem Mishnah. Quickly to summarize, that he passed the Yechanim and Gamliel. He understood Echen Mikan meant the two Avonim side to side, and Bnei Shvachos Be'emsa means between Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel, and he understood the Gemara's Kash at the end was only Lefi, the Tanakama, whereas the Firu Rachanim and Gamliel, the 25th letter, was the Hey of Yehosef. However, many Achronim, including the Kira Sefer, the Mari Kirkus, the Reshev and Arsigya and others, say exactly the opposite, a different way of thinking. The Rambam passed like the Tanakama, not like Rachanim and Gamliel. And he understood that when the Gemara says Kitoldosam, it means, doesn't mean the order in which the way the Shvatim were born, like we explain according to Rashi and Parshas Vayetze, but rather it means the order in which their mothers had children, and we know the order in which the mothers had children was Leah, and then Bila, and then Zilpah, and then Rachel, and that's exactly where the Rambam has it. The order of the children could be the way their mothers had children in order. Leah's children, then Bila's children, then Zilpah's, and then finally Rachel's children. And that's what the Gemara is saying of Kitoldosam, the order of the mother's births. When the Gemara said, Shnia Kitoldosam, the Ein Rishona Kitoldosam, that was in the core of the Rambam to say that the way in which we get the Toldosam was by putting the two Avonim together, that by having the Shnia here, by having the second Evan put adjacent to the first Evan, now with the two together give us the order of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. As far as the question of Yehuda being Mukdam, which is what the Tanakhama said, there isn't a clear answer. It would seem the Rambam had to have held that there's not the Gerson in the Gemara. This is the Be'er Sheva speaks out. The Rambam was not Gerson in the Gemara, that Yehuda is Mukdam. And that which the Gemara said at the end, that Yehosef is not the extra 25th letter, the Hey, what rather is the Yud of Binyamin, that, says the Mary Kirkus, was only according to Rabbi Chanim ben Gamliel, who dash and Kitoldosam to mean, Kfi the way the Yaakov Avinu called them. But according to the Tanakama, who did not dash and Kitoldosam that way, but rather he dash and Kitoldosam to mean the order in which the mothers gave birth, so then, Adrabba, it's better to go like the first Tana who said that Yehosef, the Hey of Yehosef was the 25th letter. And it makes sense Yosef should have the extra letter because Yosef was Zoche to have his name on the Avni Shom, as Argamar says in the Hemshech, because he was Mizgaber and his Yetzer and was placed together with his brothers on the Avni Yeshoah. So basically, the Tumah Halchem here are, is the Rambam passing like a Tanakama? In which case, he has to reread the word Kitoldosam to mean the way in which the mothers had the children. And he understands Shnia Kitoldosam to mean that the two Avonim together give us the order of the Shvatim. And L'chari was not Goris and Gemara Yehuda Mukdam. Or do we say Pasan Lechanim and Gamliel, and he reread the word Be'emsa to mean between Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel, and he said Echen Mikan, Echen Mikan, that was telling us that the two Avonim together give us the order. And as far as the Maskana of the Gemara of Yehosef, so there each Mefarish explains that the Rambam understood that the Gemara's Kasha was only against the Tana that we did not pass him like, and therefore, since we pass him like the Tana the Gemara had no Kasha with, we can go with the Gemara's initial Havamina that really the 25th letter was the Hey of Yehosef and not the Yud of Binyamin. The Gemara Mabez discusses the Maisa of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. The Gemara makes a few drushes. First, it quotes the drush of Rabbi Yochanan in the Pasuk, Vayovo Habaisa Lasos Malachto. Om Rabbi Yochanan Malame Sheshneim Ledvar Aver Niskavnu. The Pasha's Mashmah said even Yosef had in mind to do that Aver with Eshes Potiphar. And the Gemara quotes Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, with regard to the words Lasos Malachto, Chad Omer Lasos Malachto Mamesh, Vechad Omer Lasos Tzrachov Nichnas. Again, Mashma, the few one man Omer, that Yosef in fact had Kavana to do the Avera. Tosus in the Ramasa Lasso says that the Dik to the man Omer that says Lasso Strachov, that Yosef in fact had in mind to do the Avera, was in the fact the Buzzer says Vayavo Habaisa, which is Lashon Bia, was Mashma, it's Meduk, that he had in mind to do the Avera. Many of the Farshim are very bothered. Why would the Gemara darshan about a tzaddik like Yosef these Kavanos and attribute to him these negative plans that he had? Even if there are drushas to this effect, but it's not mefurish in psukim, and it's not mukhrach to make these drushas, why would then Chazal go out of their way to make these drushas? So the one to ask this question is the Truvas Maralbach in Simon Kuf Chavov. He addresses other places in Chazal as well, where Chazal attributed seemingly negative kavanos to other tzaddikim in Tanakh. And he says a klal, that Chazal did not refrain from darshaning psukim even to seemingly cast negative aspersions on a tzaddik if there were indications in the psukim which were machriach them to darshan this way. And he says here with regard to Yosef, there were several indications that Argamar makes. Some of the drashos, the drasha of Vateshev Be'esim Kashto, the Gemara later darshans the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, there is a mashmos that way. The pasuk of Atispaseya Be'bigdol, the Maralbach says, also has mashmos that Yosef had intentions to do the Avera. Therefore, Chazal did see fit to give this, attribute these intentions to Yosef. Then he adds something very important. He says that this drasha is not connected to Malas at Tzaddik, but because it was only a plan that he had, and he overcame his machshava ra to withhold himself from his yetzer hara and not do the avera, this, to the contrary, speaks to his godless and speaks to his tzidkus. We know, kol gadol mechaver yetzer gadol mimenu, and Yosef's yetzer hara was quite tremendous, especially because he was alone in Mitzrayim from a time that he was a teenager, and he had no one to teach him to stay away from Arayis. His point is also made by the Yaivitz in his Pirush, in his Haggadah and our Gemara. And therefore, the Kavanah of the Pasuk is to be Modias, the Maila of this Tzaddik, that even though he got himself in a situation where his Yetzihar was seemingly going to get the best of him, and he had Kavanah to do the Avera, at the last moment, he was saved, Hashem helped him, and he was able to be marking himself in the Avera. And even though there was somewhat of a gnai in the fact that he has machshava to do the avera, but the fact that at the end of the day he did tshuva and was not a nigra achar his machshava, that shows his tremendous tzidkus. At the end of the day, he saved himself from the ma'aser ra, and this is not a gnus of the tzaddik, but adarabah, it is a shevach of the tzaddik. That's the conclusion of the Maralbach. Other achronim pointed the fact that Yosef did in fact get himself in situation here of being misyached with Eshes Potiphera. Be'isser, be'pashris, there is an isser to be misyached with the isha of a b'nei noach, even if the isser might not be deraisa, that's a question, but there is a chora, a chashash yichud with them, and therefore it was not appropriate for Yosef to have stayed home on this day when everyone left and be alone in the bias with the Eshes Potiphera. Why, in fact, did Yosef take the step of being misyached? So the Torah's Kano says an interesting idea. He says that Yosef made a cheshbon that if he would be machmir and himself not to be misyached with Eshes Potiphera, he would be misbatel from melachas Adonav. He was meshibet too. He had a responsibility to do the melach of Potiphar. And it was a chumrah also de kula. If he would be machmir and yichud, then it would be pogan his ability to do his work properly, and he wouldn't be able to fulfill his contract to Potiphar. And therefore, he made a cheshbon not to be choshish for the isur yichud, and to instead try to do his malacha. However, there was still somewhat of a chet, somewhat of a shemetz, of something of an avera in Bemis Yachet, and that's why the man d'omer who held malachto meant lasos tashmishav was darshan, that he had in fact somewhat of a kavana, somewhat of a hero to do the avera, because he, the maisa, did have yichud with Eshes Potiphera. I should also be mitzayin, a tremendous arichas in the Sefer Ben Yoyada about this question. Why was it that Rabbi Yochanan and Manor and the Gemara, the Darsh and Malachto men, Lasas Tracha, Darsh in this way, and were not Machria le Kavschus and Yosef? He says that, in fact, Yosef had Kavana Tova in this Kavana to do the Avera. There are two types of people, he writes, who are able to overcome their Taifa. One is people who stay away from the Avera completely. They don't, in fact, get into the Makam Nisayon. And Yosef had done this all the months that Eshes Potiphera was trying to entice him. And then there are people who, even when they're in the throes of the taiva has already gotten the best of them, as it were, and they're about to do the avera, at the last moment they pull themselves away and are able to be nizer from the chet, mitoch yirashamayim. Yosef figured he also wanted to serve Hashem in this fashion. The Ben Yoyada is very marach. You find other places in Chazal, other places in Tanakh, where there were Gedolim, David HaMelech, one of the examples he gives, who tried to make themselves at the brink of doing an avera that the Yetzer Hara almost got the best of them, and then at the last second they pulled away. That was to show a tremendous modicum of Yiras Hashem, that even when the Yetzer Hara kimat got the best of them, still they were able, mitoch Yiras Shamayim, to stay away from the chet. And that what Yosef did as well. Yosef was ki'ilu mavir ba'atzmo, the taiva, in order to be magbir the Yetzer Hara alav, and then at the last moment, he saw that he was able to get away from the chet. That was the attempt Yosef was making to be mechadesh in Shamayim and to be show a tremendous midah of Yir Shamayim by the last moment running outside and leaving himself from the chet. It's kedai to look at the menyo yod, whoever can. Very big arichos that he has explained this mahal some tzaddikim had. He doesn't necessarily say this is kedai for everyone. We know we daven every day not to come today makam nisayon, but this was an idea that Yosef had at this day to show the tremendous midah of Yerushalayim that he had, and to be mavering himself the Yetzer Hara in order to at the last moment pull away and not to do the chait. So we see a few mahalchem nachronim why it was that Chazal here felt the need to darshan these psukim of Lasas Molachto or Vayovo Habaisa that Yosef had kavonah to do this nus. One was the Mahalach of the Maral Bach that Chazal do have these drushas where there are indications in the psukim that show that these drushas are correct. And he said that here, in this case, there were several psukim which indicated this, in fact, Yosef's kavonah. And he says that the psukim were not telling us Lugnus at Tzaddik, but Adarabah was the Shevach of the Tzaddik that he was able to pull away at the last moment. We saw other achronim were mitzayin the fact that Yosef had yichud with Big Eshes Botifar, and that was why these Amoraim decided to darshan the psukim the way they did, to say that Yosef had kavana to do the Avera, and we explained what Yosef's cheshen was in having yichud. And as well, we were mitzayin the arichas in the Ben Yoyada to explain the mahalach Yosef had to not only be able to stay away from the Nisayon by avoiding the Taiva, but even when he was in the throes of the Taiva and the Yitzhar was Kamat Mizgabar Olav, he still at the last moment pulled away B'toch Yerushalayim. That was a mahalach he had, B'mekar Hashem Shamayim, B'davar Nifla B'Yoser. That was why Yosef was magged with the Taiva in himself, and that was why these Amoraim and our Gemara dashed him Sukkim the way they did.
The Gemara at the bottom of the Amud relates to the conversation between Paro and Yosef. When Yosef informed Paro that he took a shvua to his father Yaakov to bring him to Eretz Canaan to bury him, Paro asked him to be shoal on his shvua. And Yosef said, if that's the case, then I'll also be shoal on the shvua I took 2 years ago, when I first came to Mitzrayim, that I would not reveal that I knew Loshon HaKodesh, and you did not learn it, and you were not able even to learn it, as the Gemara tells us. And then Paro acceded and let Yosef bring Yaakov up to Eretz Canaan. Now, the simple mashmas of the Gemara, the dishvuos that Yosef took to Yaakov and to Paro respectively, were in fact binding on Yosef, and he was not able simply to be over on the shvua despite having taken it.
Now, it is well known the discussion in the Mishnah Melech and the Sefer Parshas Drachim, as well as other achronim, as to whether or not the Avos and the Shvatim had the din of Bnei Noach when it came to their Kiyum HaMitzvos. Even it's possible there is a tzad in the Mishnah Melech that even if the Avos had a din of Yisrael, they were Mekayim Kol HaTorah before it was given, but the Shvatim had a din of Bnei Noach. And as well, Menachronim pointed to the fact that we do in fact learn halachos about Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach out from the Avos. Now, if it were to be noke this tzad, that the Shvatim, Yosef, had a din of a Ben Noach, l'chor there would be a raya from our Gemara that a Ben Noach is muzhar to keep his word. He's bound by the prohibition of Bayachal Devaro not to violate the Shvua that he swears. And in truth, even if we are to say that Yosef did not have the din of a Ben Noach, but if we examine the length and breadth of Sefer Bereishis, we find several instances in which people, l'chor, certainly had a din of a Ben Noach, took a shvua, and Bapasha says the shvua was binding. We find, for example, Avraham Avinu was mashbia his Eved Eliezer, and Bapasha's Eliezer was not more than a Ben Noach. As well, we find both Avraham and Yitzchak were mashbia Avimelech, the Melech of the Plishtim, and also their Bapasha's Avimelech was not more than a Ben Noach. Similarly, the Mishlei Melech in Hilchas Malachim Perigud points to the fact that Yaakov was mashbia his brother Esav. And Parshas told us regarding the Bechorah, and there also, but Parshas Esav did not have a din of Yisrael, only Ben Noach. And in all these cases, the Parshas is that the Shavuos were binding. So we see that Bapastas, Ben Noach, does have to keep his word and is Muzer in Bayachal Devaro. And many Achronim struggle with this question. They say, how is this possible? Where do we find that Ben Noach is Muzer on Bayachal? Bayachal is not one of the Zayin Mitzvot Ben Noach. Where is it that we can, how can we suggest that in fact Bayachal is something which is applicable to Bnei Noach? Now, if we examine some of the Makoros, we'll find that there is a machlokas, mafresh machlokas between the Balei Tosus on this count. The Tosus in Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Beis, there he's discussing that which the Gemara there learns from a pasuk, that a Ben Noach may not bring a carbon, which is mechusar aver, that's the only type of mum that a Ben Noach's carbon may not have. And Tosus asks that the Pashas Lashon in the Gemara there is mashmats and Isser Gomer, and he's bothered why is this not counted as one of the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, why is there not an additional mitzvah of Bnei Noach, an Isser, for a Ben Noach to bring a carbon, which is Mechusar Eiver. And Tosus answers that this is not a prohibition, which is the only types of Isurim which are counted as Zion mitzvah of Bnei Noach, but this in fact is a mitzvah saseh, and the mitzvah is that if the Ben Noach will take a nether, that he should bring a
karbon, which is a mechuser ever, we'll tell him he's not allowed to bring that karbon, but rather he's mechuyev to come and be mekayim his neder by bringing a karbon which is not a balmum. And Rabbi Eger there, as well as the Mishnah Melech and Melechus Malachim Perikud and Medayik from the Tosus and Avodah Zarah that he seems to be mefurish, that there is in fact a chiyuv of the Ben Noach to keep his word. If the Ben Noach says he's going to bring a karbon, we say you have to keep your word. We do not let him be over on the Isser of Bayachel. And Rabbi Eger is metamea. He says, Lo yadati, where does Tosus get this from? V'chi Ben Noach mitzuvah l'kayim nidro. He's not mechuyev to keep that which he says. If he wants to bring a carbon, has to fit the specifications that it can't be mechuser ever. But since when do we find that a ben noach is mitzvah in bayachel? And Rick Eger leaves this question as a tzarachian. And in fact, we do in fact found Tosus in Nazir, Daf Samach Aleph, at the bottom, it says that a ben noach is not roi bichlal to be included in the Isser of bayachel. The Isser of bayachel does not at all devolve on him. So lechor, it's in the first of machlokas in the Balei HaTosus. And in fact, we look earlier, in fact, in Chazal, there's a machlokas about this in the Yerushalmi in Nosir, at the beginning of the ninth parak, between Amoraim there, whether or not the Ben Noach is included in the Isser of Bal Yachel or not. And so obviously, we need to understand that which is the Pashas Mashon Ar Gemara, as well as all the other stories in Sefer Bereishis, and this Deah that we have in the Yerushalmi in Nosir, and in Tosus and in Avodah Zarah, that in fact, Ben Noach are Muzharim in Bal Yachel, and they have to keep their Shvuos and their Nedarim that they take. So the Mishnah Melech there in Hilchas Malachim suggests a very big chiddush. He says that perhaps we know that one of the Zion mitzvah Bnei Noach is the Isser of Birkas Hashem. It's a euphemistic way of referring to be Makal Hashem Chas V'Shalom, but that is one of the Isserim that Bnei Noach is Muzerhin. The Mishnah Melech says perhaps because we know that a standard Shvua, as the Gemara tells us in Shvuas and elsewhere, is attached to a shame, that a person takes a shvua by the shame of Hashem that he will do or not do a certain thing. So perhaps then, when a ben Noach will come and violate his shvua and not keep his word that he took under oath, that has a modicum of Birkas Hashem in it. That's the suggestion that the Mishnah Melech makes. This is very difficult to understand. The Pashas is a far cry between being a kal Hashem and simply taking a shvua, taking an oath in Hashem's name and not keeping it. L'chor, there's still not a kol of Hashem's name going on. And the Mishmelech himself concedes that this only account for a shvua with that which a Ben Noach would take, an oath with Hashem's name. If he took a stam, an oath, that would not be the case. And as well, a neder, which does not have a shame attached to it, this will not help for. And the Keren Ora as well, a Nozir, Daf Samach Aleph, is metameh. And the Mishmelech, he doesn't understand how it could be that Birkas Hashem would account for the Isser of Bal Yachel on Bnei Noach. So there is another Mahalach, which we find in the Avnei Nezer, and there's also Merumas too in the Meshech Chochma and Parsha Shmos. Avnei Nezer says as follows. He's discussing the Shita of the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash writes a Chiddush that if a person, instead of verbalizing a Shvua with his peh, he writes a Shvua down on a piece of paper. He writes down an oath that he intends to do, something that he intends to do or intends not to do. That's the way he takes the Shvua. The Rimi Gash is Mechadish, even though a person is not bound by the Shvua Medini Adam because he did not verbalize the peh, and he was not Motzi Mipiv, therefore there's no Isser of Bayachal Devaro, because there's no Devarim that he spoke out. However, there is still a responsibility to keep it Bidei Shamayim, that if a person will not keep the Shvua he wrote down a piece of paper, then he is going to be Dino Nimser Lo Shamayim for violating the Shvua he wrote down. And the Adonai says, what's the beer in this very Mechudosh Rimi Gash? So he says that the idea of a Shvua that Ben Noach could also be Muzerhin is that if a person gives his word to someone else, if he comes to his friend and says, I pledge to you, I'll do something to you, I swear to you that I will do or not do this on your behalf. That, he says, the svara, a seichel is machayev, that a person should keep his word, even though he doesn't necessarily have a responsibility, midin bayachal devaro, to not be machal his word, to not violate his word. But the fact that the other person is being samach on him, the fact that the other person heard what he said and understood that he was giving him his pledge, giving him his word, then the svara is machriya, that he should keep his word. And all the examples he says in Parshas, in Sefer Bereishis rather, all like that. That which Eliezer told Avram, that was the shvur that Avram expected him to take and to keep that which he said. And all the times Avimelech was nishba to Avram and to Yitzchak, and that which Esav was nishba to Yaakov. And all these examples of shvur was given to someone else. There, Avinezer says, because one gives his word, then there's a pledge which is given that one, the svara tells us that even if it's not actually muzer because of Bayachel, but he will have to keep his word. And that is what the Rimi Gash meant when he said, if a person writes a shvua down a piece of paper, Hildino is Nimser Lo Shamayim, that's because when he takes this private shvua on a piece of paper, even though he's not Muzer in Bal Yachal Devaro, but still, if he now gives his pledge to someone else. He writes his piece of paper down and gives it to someone else and says he will do this thing that he wrote down. So then the person is expecting on him, counting on him, and then Svar is mechayiv him to keep with that which he said. Hadin Ezra adds an interesting thing. He says, Hare, we know the Gemara all over says that we took a shvuah at Har Sinai, and a person is mushba v'omid mar Sinai to keep a shvuah that he took at Har Sinai. And the question is, if B'nai Noach are not muzharim in a shvuah, it was known by Yachal Devorah before Kabbalah Satorah, so how can the shvuah have any validity? How can it be binding? And Avinazer says that's the idea, because we took a shvuah to Hashem, Kaviyachal, we said to Hashem, we're giving Hashem our word, that we're going to be Mekabel the Torah and keep everything that it says in it, and that's what's binding, that's the yisod of Kabbalah Satorah, that we're Mushav Omed from then on, because we gave Hashem his word. The Meshech Chachman, Parshas Yisrael, says something similar. He writes, because there's a seichel, there's a star, which is Mechayev, someone to keep his word, it's a Davar HaMuskal, so therefore this mitzvah does in fact evolve on B'nai Noach, even though it's not one of the formal mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. We find this idea famously written by the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon in his Hagdama to the Shas, which is printed at the beginning of Seches Brachos. He writes there that even though there are only seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, which are formal mitzvahs that a B'nai Noach must keep no matter what, but all the other mitzvahs are Yisurim, which are the Seichel is Machayev them, that any civilized culture would have people keep. There as well, the Torah expects B'nai Noach to keep them Mitzad HaSfara. And this as well as the case, says the Meshech Chachma, regarding a shvuah, that if a person gives someone his word and takes a shvuah, then he should keep that which he says. So to summarize, the pashas of our Gemara, according to many tzadim, is that Yosef had a din of ben Noach, and yet his shvuah that he took to Yaakov and to Paro was binding. We find other examples of this in Sefer Bereishis with regard to Esav to taking a shvuah to Yaakov, or Eliezer taking a shvuah to Avram. And the Achronim are bothered, how can this be? Where do we find that B'nai Noach or Muzharim in Bayachal Devarah that we should say that their shvuahs are binding? We saw Machlokas Mefurish about this between Tosef and Bonazar that seemed to say there was an Isra Bayachal on B'nai Noach, whereas Tosef in Nazar held there was not. And as well, there was Machlokas about this in Yerushalmi. We explained in Tumahalchem that Tzad, that there would be Bayachal on B'nai Noach. One is the Chiddush of the Mishnah Melech, that perhaps it goes under the rubric of Birkas Hashem, and we explained the Chiddush in that. Or we said, Al-Pila Avni Nezer, that no, because it's something which is Svaras Mechayev, if a person gives a pledge, he takes an oath to his friend that he'll do something or not do something, and his friend depends on him and is counting on him, so then the Svara, the Seichel, is Mechayev him to keep it, and that is even without the formal Azhara of Bayachal Devaro. That's a Pshat he said in the Rimigash, he said a person who writes down a Shvuah, gives a pledge on a piece of paper, that's also something which is binding, at least in Shamayim. That's a Pshat in why B'nai Noach are Muzharim in their Shvuahs, and the Shachachim as well said, because the Seichel is Mechayev, then we should expect B'nai Noach to keep their word. Now, in the aforementioned conversation between Paro and Yosef, which the Gemara records, it is mashman the Gemara that Yosef would have been able to be Shoel on both the Shvuahs he took to Yaakov and the Shvuah that he took to Paro. The Tosfos in Divrei Maasel Itchel is quite bothered. How can it be that Yosef would have been able to be Shoel on the Shvuah he took to Paro? The Gemara tells us in the Dorim Daf Samachay that someone who takes a neder which involves his friend, and certainly if that neder was taken for the benefit or for the need of his friend, then he can only be shoel on the neder b'fnei chaver. He can only be shoel on the neder in the presence of his friend. And Tosfos understands that Gemara b'Pashas to means that means with the consent of the friend. That the friend must consent that the person is being shoel on the neder, that he'll no longer have to keep the neder which was to his benefit. If that's the case, asks Tosfos, how can Yosef say over here that he would be shoel on the shvuah that he took to not reveal that Paro did not know Loshon HaKodesh, or Paro did not consent to let Yosef be shoel on this shvuah? Tosfos says, perhaps we should be mochiach from our Gemara, that what the Gemara there says, that a person can only be shoel on the shvuah b'fonav, doesn't mean that he needs the consent, the agreement of the friend, but it's enough if it's in the presence of the friend, even if it's shalomi daito, even if he is not consent, it's enough if it's in his presence. Now, if you look in the Ran, in that sugya nedarim there, Nas HaMechei, he quotes the Yerushalmi, which records two timing for this halacha. Why is it that if someone who takes a neder regarding his friend, he may only be shoel on the neder b'fnei chaveru? One is because of chashad, that if he does not have the friend present when he's shoel on the neder, then the friend who knew about the neder was done for him, may be choshed him that when he sees me over on the neder, that he is violating Bal Yachal, and therefore you have to take care of doing the she'ela in front of the friend so there shouldn't be chashad. The other time is because of busha, meaning that the person should be embarrassed to be shoel on his neder when it was done for the benefit of his friend, and therefore he'll have to get his friend's presence and his friend's consent in order to be shoel on the neder. And the Ran says the nafkamina between these two timim is this question that Tosfos raises, whether or not it's enough to have the presence of the chaver, or you also need the consent. If you go with the time of chashad, that the friend should not be choshed him that he's over in the nether when he's shal shalom b'fonav. So then says Duran, it's enough if he does it with his presence, even if it's shalom midaito, even if he does not consent to be shal on the nether, but because the friend was aware that he was shal on the nether, so the element of chashad has been removed. Mashenkin, if we go to the time of busha, that we want the person who took the nether to be misbaish from being over in the nether when the friend is not yet aware, so then it's not enough, says the Ryan, that the friend is present. We also need the friend to consent to let the person who took the nether become free of his nether. So the Chora here, Tosa is going with the time of busha. That's what Tosa understood, but Pashtus, that the Svar should have been, that we should now allow him to do it shalom b'fonav, meaning shalom midaito. And then Tosa says, no, perhaps we can be mechadesh, like the tzad, of a chashad, that it's enough if we have the presence of the other person and it's not necessary to have his agreement. Tosis goes on and says, in Svar, it's very difficult for him to understand. How could this be? If we need the presence of the friend, the Pasha Tosis says that also means we need the consent, the agreement of the friend. And therefore Tosis wants to read our Gemara that Yosef was just threatening Paro. Really, Yosef was not going to be able to be shal on his nether without Paro's consent. Tosis says that Yosef was simply saying a guzma, that Yosef was threatening Paro with this idea that he'd be shal on the nether. Now, what's interesting to note is that Tosis only raises this question, how can it be that Yosef be shal on the nether that he took to Paro? But the other shvuah, which Argamar mentions, the shvuah that Yosef took to Yaakov to bring him to Eretz Canaan, there Tosis is not bothered. How could it be that Paro would have thought that Yosef could be shal on the nether, the shvuah that he took to Yaakov, right there as well, since it involved the benefit of Yaakov to bring him to Eretz Canaan, l'chor, we should need also the presence of Yaakov here. And in fact, if you look in Tosa Rosh, he only asks this question from the Gemara Nedarim, that a Madr Mechavero needs to have the Befnei Chavero to be shol, and he only asks that on the Shvua that Yosef took to Yaakov. He asks, how can it be that Paro said that Yosef could be shol on the Shvua to Yaakov, and Yosef didn't respond that there's no such halacha. Rei, l'chor, you need the presence of Yaakov here, and Yaakov was already dead. And that's the Tosa Rosh only asks that question, does not ask the question from how Yosef could be shul on his shvuah to Paro. Now, the answer that Tosa Rosh gives opens up the sugi here and explains the machlokes here between the Tosas and Tosa Rosh. Why is it that Tosas only asks the question with regard to Yosef's shvuah to Paro, whereas Tosa Rosh only asks the question with regard to Yosef's shvuah to Yaakov? The Tosa Rosh answers in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. And the truth is, other Rishonim quote this from Rabbeinu Tam as well, the Rashban Gittim, the Flamet Hey, and the Smag, and others, and it's passed in the Halacha, in the Yardes, and Reish Chavches. Rabbeinu Tam says, this whole Halacha, that the Gemara Nedarim says that a person who takes a shvuah from his friend for his friend may only be shal on the nether in the presence of the friend. That's only true if the shvuah was taken as a response, as an exchange for a tova that the person who took the shvuah received from the beneficiary. Once he received a tova from the beneficiary of the shvuah, and as a result, as a payment ki'il for that tova, he takes a shvuah for the benefit of the friend, so then that dochak that he's forced into to take the shvuah to repay the tova that he received, that makes it, has to have the extra chumrah that he may only be shal on the shvuah in the presence or with the consent of his friend. And therefore, that's the answer Rabbeinu Tam says, that Yosef here, when he took the shvuah to Yaakov, he wasn't nitchak, even though he had the Mrs. Kibbut Aveim, but it wasn't because of any tova that he received that he had to kilu repay Yaakov by taking the shvuah. And since he took the shvuah ki'ilu voluntarily in order to do the mitzvah, to do Yaakov's last will and testament, that was not something which is dochek him, and he is not doing it as a payment for a tova. And the whole halacha doesn't apply. There isn't such halacha that if a person takes a shvuah for his friend, but it was not machmas tova, that he needs the presence of the friend or even the consent of the friend in order to be shoel on the shvuah. That's the answer which Tosa Rosh says to the question how Yosef was able to be shoel on the shvuah from Yaakov Avinu. So now to go back to the diak we made, why was it that Tosas did not ask the question, how was it that Yosef would have been able, the pashtus, to be shoel on the shvuah he gave to Yaakov's benefit to bring him to Eretz Canaan? And he didn't say that this halacha applies, that he cannot do it shalom b'fonav. So l'chora, there are two mahalachim we can say. One mahalach is that there's a difference between a person when the beneficiary of the shvuah has already died or not. In this case, Yaakov, who was the beneficiary of the shvuah that Yosef took to him, had already died. Whereas Paro, who was the beneficiary of the shvuah that Yosef took to him, was still alive. And there's going to be a chilek between when the person is dead or not. And certainly if we say, like the Tzad and the Yerushalmi, that the tam for the halach of yesh elishal ela b'fonav is because of chashad. So it makes a lot of sense that once the beneficiary has died, there is no chashad. He's not being choshed him if he's already dead. And this tam is spoken at mefurish by the Gra in Simen Reish Chav Ches of Yerdea, Sivkot Men Gimel. even though we already were medayik earlier, that Tosis prefers the time of busha, that the person should be embarrassed from the beneficiary of the shvua and not be shol on it, more than time of chashad. And with regard to the time of busha, the Gra there says that this nafkamina of mace is not true, meaning that if a person is dead, there still should be busha, that he still should be misbayish from him not to be shol on the shvua. However, the shach over there in Tzimur Reish Chav Ches, Sipkata Nun Gimel is mashma that even for the time of busha, there is still a nafkamina of the person's dead. And that would explain one reason why Tosis might have held that the shvua of Yaakov would not pose a problem of Shalom Bafanov, where the shvua of Paro would. We also could add what the Karen Ora writes in the Dorim Daf Samachay over there, that the halalacha of being Shalom Bafanov, that there's a problem being Shalom Bafanov, is only lechachila. This is spoken out by the Ran and other Mefarshim there in the Dorim. And therefore he says, here in a situation where the person is dead and there's no possibility of doing the she'ela b'fanav, so then it's yavsher b'inyanacher. It's no way to do it b'fanav once he's dead. And if it's yavsher, it's like b'di'eved. We have a klal in halacha, she'asat chak di'evedami, and therefore we'll be mevater in this halacha of she'ela b'fanav, which is only a lechatchila. So that would be one mahalach to explain why it would be that Tosis is not bothered by the kasha from how Yosef could be shal in the shvua to Yaakov, but only how Yosef could be shal in the shvua to Paro. However, based on the Tosis of Rosh Chor, we can explain another mahalach, and that is that Tosis agreed to the Sar of Rabbeinu Tam, which the Tosis of Rosh and other Rishonim quoted, that this entire halacha, that one can only be shol on the Shvua b'fnei the Chavero, is where he received the Tovah from Chavero. Tosis knew that Svar was true. And therefore, Tosis knew very well what Tosis of Rosh answered from Shem Rabbeinu Tam, that Yosef didn't receive any Tovahs from Yaakov. He didn't take the Shvua as a payment, as a compensation for a Tovah he received. And therefore, it was pashut to Tosis that there Yosef would have been able to be shol on the Shvua. However, when it came to the Shvua that Yosef took for Paro, Tosis might have understood that that Shvua could have been construed as a repayment for a tova. Aray Yosef took the shvua at the time that he was appointed a Mishnah Melech to Paro, and it's very well possible to argue that that can be considered a Kabbalah's tova, because Yosef knew that after having proven his superiority to Paro with regard to the knowledge of all the Lashonos, including Lashon HaKodesh, that Paro wanted to be appoint him as a Mishnah Melech. Therefore, this shvua he took to him might be construed as a payment of a Kabbalah's tova, and therefore would be pose a problem of being mekabel, being shol the shvua shlo b'fonav. So that could be what Tosis held. On the other hand, the Tosis Rosh might have held that no, that the same way that the shvua which Yosef took to Yaakov, as he wrote beforish, was not considered an exchange for a tova. Similarly, the shvua that Yosef took to Yaakov, to Paro as well, was not considered that way. And in fact, we find this meforish in the Trivus HaRivash in Siman Shin Ayin. He writes there clearly, Lefir Benu Tam, the whole halacha that we need a tova to be exchanged for the shvua is where the person receives the tova at the time of the shvua, and it's clear that the shvua is being given as a payment and an exchange for the tova. And he writes, Lo matzinu sha'asla tova liyosef b'shvul sha'asazos. We don't find mefurish that at that time Paro gave a tova to Yosef, that Yosef was repaying with the shvua. It might be that in the context of Yosef having taken the shvua, now Paro felt comfortable making the Mishnah Melech, but we don't necessarily see that Yosef was exchanging for Paro the tova that he gave him by taking the shvua. And that's the opinion of the Rivash. And it could be that's also what the Tosafot Rosh understood. And therefore, the same way he answered the question, why it would be that Yosef would have been able to be shol on the shvua to Yaakov because he didn't receive a tova from him. Similarly, as Rivash said, the Tosafot Rosh might have held that is why Yosef would have been able to be shol on the shvua that he gave to Paro as well. However, Tosafot might have held not like this. Tosafot might have held that is considered the shvua that Yosef gave to Paro, a shvua machmas tova. And therefore, Tosafot had it shver. Why did we not run into the problem of being shol on a shvua shalo b'fonov? I should add this mahalach and Tosis, that there's a difference between the shvua that Yosef took to Paro as opposed to the one Yosef took to Yaakov, either because Yaakov is already dead and therefore there's no problem of chashad or perhaps even busha, or because that was considered a kabbalas tova. This answers a question which some achronim ask on Tosis, the Yaivitz in the back of the Gemara, as well as Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz, they both ask, why didn't Tosis say, simple teretz, that Yosef was answering Paro, l'shitasei, Paro, that I'm able to be shol in the shvua that I gave to Yaakov. We're not concerned with the halacha shlo b'fonav. So similarly, I also should be able to be shol in the shvua I gave to you, because even though you don't consent, you don't give your agreement, so what? You hold, you can do a shlo b'fonav. So that's the answer they ask on Tosis. So if the halacha were saying, yeah, it's very good, because there's going to be a difference between the shvua Yosef took to Yaakov,
as opposed to the Shvu, he took to Paro, either because Yaakov is already dead, and therefore the problem of Shol Bafanav is not present for the reasons we explained, or because there's other mahalach that he holds like a minutam, that only a Shvua, which was the Tovas Chaveru, and the Shvu was given as an exchange for that, that's going to be a problem of Shol Bafanav. And Tosas may have held that the Shvua that Yosef took to Paro did fit into that category of being a Shvua, which was as the exchange for a Tovas Chaveru, Masha'enke in the Shvua, that he took to Yaakov, that was not Latovas Yaakov, as other Rishonim said, and therefore there was no Lashitase. He couldn't answer Paro back Lashitascha, because there is a fundamental difference between the Shvua to Yaakov and the Shvua to Paro. So to summarize here, we have the Gemara that discusses the Shvuas that Yosef took to Yaakov and the Shvuas he took to Paro. The Pasha of the Gemara is he could be Shol on either one. Tosas raises a problem with the Gemara in the Dharm that Samachay, which tells us that a person who takes a Shvua to benefit his friend may only be Shol on it b'fnei Chavero. Tosas understood that, but Pasha is to mean that it's with the consent of his friend. We explained based on the Rana and the Dharm, of course, Yerushalmi, this is going to be totally on the two timeim for this halacha. If it's because of chashad, the person will be choshenim and being over in the shvua, then it's enough that he's present even if he doesn't consent. Or it's because of busha that we're interested in the person being misbayish from the beneficiary of the shvua, not being sholan, there we'll need his consent. And l'chor Tosas is going with the time of busha. Tosas concluded perhaps that Yosef was simply giving a threat to Paro that he'd be sholan the shvua, but he couldn't really back it up. We quoted the Kasha of the Tosa Rosh, who asked the similar question not on the Shvua that Yosef took to Paro, but rather in the Shvua that Yosef took to Yaakov, and he answered in the name of Ben Utam that this entire halacha of requiring the consent or the presence of the Chavar is only when the Shvua was taken as a result, as a compensation or a payment for the Tova received from the beneficiary of the Shvua, and that was not the case in the Shvua Yosef took to Yaakov. We know that Tosas did not ask this question regarding the Shvua that Yosef took to Yaakov, and that might have been for two reasons, either because Yaakov had already died, and therefore the tam of Chashad certainly does not apply, and perhaps the tam of Busha also does not apply, and we well explained based on the Karen Ora that it might be already a situation of B'di'eved, because it's impossible to have the person's B'fanav once he's dead, or it's because Tosas held that even though the Shvua that Yosef took to Yaakov was not considered a Temura of a Tova, but the one that he took to Paro was considered a payment on a Tova that now Paro made him into a Mishnah Melech, whereas the Tosas Rush held like the Rivash, that no, that we do not find that this Shvua was given as a compensation for a Tova that Paro gave to Yosef, and therefore the same answer the Tosas Rush gave for the Shvua of Yosef to Yaakov, that it was not Latova. Similarly, we can answer the question of how Yosef was not going to have a problem being Shol on the Shvua that he took to Paro because it was not a Tova. There's one more interesting angle on the Sugi here of the Shvuas that Yosef took to Paro and to Yaakov and the possibility of being Shol on them. And that is that the Shvua that he took to Paro was that he would not reveal that which he knew Lashon HaKodesh and Paro did not know, and Paro was not even able to learn Lashon HaKodesh. The Sefer Shar Melech asks, L'chor, there's a halacha in Hilchos Nedarim, that when a person comes to a chacham to be shol on his neder, he needs to be mefaret the neder. At least there's the manomer that way, and we paskin like that manomer, that person needs to detail what exactly the content of the neder was. Now, in a neder like this one, where the entire point of the neder was not to reveal that which one knows, so l'chor, it should be impossible to be mekayim this halacha. How can one be mekayim the halacha of being mefaret the neder and saying what the neder is, if the entire neder is not to say the content of this information? That's the kasha which the Shar Melech asks, and he offers a few interesting terutzim. The truth is already the Ritva, quoted by the Shita Mekubetzas in Nedarim, Daf Samachay, already raises this question, and he answers with a very practical etza, even though it's a chiddush in Hilchos Nedarim. He says, either one can say, I took a shvua with saying the content of the shvua, but not revealing about whom the shvua was. For example, over here with Yosef, Yosef could have said, I said about a certain person, Ploni, that I took a shvua, I will not reveal he does not Lashon HaKodesh, and not saying that Ploni was Paro, therefore he would not be over on the shvua of saying that Paro did not know Lashon HaKodesh. On the other hand, he would be successful in being mefaret the neder to the chacham. That's one eitzah the Ritva gives. Second eitzah is that you can say, I took a shvua about Paro, that I would not reveal a certain detail about him, which I cannot tell you, because the whole point of the shvua is, I cannot be megala that detail, and therefore it's enough, the Ritva is saying that's enough to tell us he can be yotzei the kiyum of being mefaret the neder, even if he doesn't actually say the content of the neder, so long as he says it's something that I cannot reveal, and he says who it was about. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. Again, you know, they're very practical itzas, but are chiddushim and hulchas nedarim. If the Shar Melech, however, brings another mahalach, based on the Truvas HaRashba, which is also a very big chiddush, he quotes the Truvas HaRashba that says that a person may be over on a neder if he has a tzarech gadol, but be over willingly, knowingly violate his neder if he knows that after he's over on the neder, he'll be able to be shoyel on it, and then meikara lemafreya, the neder will be mutter. We know that a chacham is oker a neder meikara, that lemafreya kilu the neder never existed. So the Rashba is mashma, says the Shar HaMelech, that a person has the opportunity to, if need be over on his neder, and that will facilitate him being shoal on the neder at some later point, and then he'll be able to feel easy that he was over on the neder because lemafreya, the neder was mutter. So the Shar HaMelech says that's what Yosef could do. He could be mefaret to the chacham that he was coming to be shoal in front of, that exactly what the neder was, to tell him that Paro did not know Loshen HaKodesh, and then once the chacham, even though Yosef at that moment was over on the neder, but now the chacham will be able to be matter the neder after hearing the pirut of the neder, and then lamafreya will turn out it was mutter for Yosef to tell him that. It's a tremendous chiddush. The Rashba says that if there's a big tzorech, there's no other way to do it. The Rashba says one can do a hataras adaram in this fashion. That's the Shar HaMelech wants to be medayik in the Rashba, that a person has the opportunity, if there's a big tzorech, to be over on the neder and then only later be shol on it and be able to be Oker the neder meikara. The Shar HaMelech does question that the Rashi's mashma, one can only do this for a tzarech gadol, but something like this where Paro was threatening Yosef that he should be over on the neder, be shoal on the shvu, he took to Yaakov, and therefore it's putting a mitzvah at stake. L'chore, it would have been mutter for Yosef to threaten Paro to say that I will be over on my neder, I'll be revealed to the Chacham in order to be mefaritit, and he'll be shoal for me, and then I'm afraid I'll be mutter because Chacham is Oker neder meikara.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.